Okay, good morning, everyone. Good to see you. Today we're going to continue our discussion about free will in the context of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And specifically, we're going to consider a very important question. The question of free will and divine foreknowledge. And the reason why it relates to Yetzias Mitzrayim is, as we'll see in a moment, the Rishonim asked the Shaila, how could the Egyptians be punished if, after all, Hashem told Avram Avinu at the Bris Ben Absarim, Kigir Yezar Acha Beretz Olahem, Vavadum Binu Osam Arba Meo Shana, etc. To understand this, we're going to look at the Rambam first in Hilchos Tshuva. And I put in the chat Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, Hey and Vav, or really all of Hilchos Tshuva, but we're going to be focusing on Perek Hey and Vav. And what's very perplexing about this topic is that the Rambam seems to address it twice, the question of free will and foreknowledge. Once in Perek Hey of Hilchos Tshuva, excuse me, and once in Perek Vav. And we're going to try to figure out why the Rambam addresses this twice, or is he really actually addressing two different questions and giving two different answers. So let's take a look first at Perek Hey. And again, you can follow in the original source sheets that I gave out on this topic, just by looking at the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva Perek Hey straight away. And we're going to be reading from Hilchos Tshuva Perek Hey. Now, it's a little tricky because there's I gave you the website from Machon Mamre, which has a little different way of numbering the halachos. But we're going to start from where it says Shema Tomar V'Halo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, let me just try to show you exactly. It's Parakei Halacha Yud in the Machon Mamre edition, or Parakei Halacha Hey in the classical edition. Shema Tomar V'Halo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yodea Ma Sheyihia V'Kodem Sheyia Yada Shezeh Yetzadek O Rasha. Olo yada. Im yada shehu yatzadik, the afshar shalo yatzadik. Then tomar shiyada shiyatzadik, vashar shiyarasha harelo yada davral borio. So this is the famous question of free will and divine foreknowledge. And the truth is, this is a question that really is behind many questions. When you speak to little children, they oftentimes will be asking this question without even fully appreciating that that's what they're asking. And we're going to first focus on Rambam's position, though then we'll have a chance, God willing, to see a number of answers to this question. So how could it be? Does God know? If God knows I'm going to be a tzaddik, then I don't really have free will. I can't be a rasha. And if I could, then he doesn't really know. Da, says the Rambam. Shetshuva she'elazu arucha me'eretz mida ruchava mineyam. The answer to this question is really very, very broad. The Kamei Karm Gedolim Beharirim Ramim Teluyim Ba. Many very important principles are dependent upon it. In other words, we're really going to have to understand a lot to be able to answer this question. B'davar Zeh Sheani Omer. Far Biyarnu B'Perek Sheni Milchus Yisodei HaTorah. Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Einu Yodea Mideya Shuchutz mimenu, k'nei adam, shehem v'da'atam, shnayim. So there's two ways of knowing something, the Rambam says. The way humans know something is that their knowledge is external to them. Heim v'da'atam, shnayim. Right? And just to maybe give an illustration of this, there's me and there's the things I know. I can, for example, forget something, or I could learn something. You wouldn't say that I have fundamentally changed. There is who I am, and then I have information. I don't know if this is a great mashal, but you know, you could think of a computer with a hard drive. So you put things on, you could erase it, right? The computer is the same, and there's information that it knows, there's information that doesn't know. Elahu is aleshmo v'da'ato echad. But not so with God. If that were true with God, that would introduce plurality to God, and God is absolutely one. So he and his knowledge are one. Ve'en da'ato shel adam yechol la'asig davar ze'al borio. A human being can't really understand this. U'kashem she'en koch be'adam la'asig v'limtso amitas ha'borei. Just like a human being can't understand the truth of God. In other words, though the Rambam says that there's a mitzvah of Yediyas Hashem, we're trying to understand God as best we possibly can, but we're limited. We're incapable of fully understanding him. Shenamar, ki lo yirani ha'adam v'chai. We can't be alive and understand him fully. We are, by our very nature, limited and finite. He is infinite, and so we can't really understand him or fully understand him. We can't really understand the way God thinks, the way God knows things. In other words, the way he thinks, machshavosai, is not like the way we think. It's not just that, you know, he knows things that we don't know. It's not just like God is all-knowing. You know, we know, a million things in my mind, and Hashem knows that 100 billion things in his mind. No, they're fundamentally different. The way we think is different. Knowledge, the nature of our knowledge is different. For Kevin Chikane, accordingly, En banu koch leida ha'ach yadak ha'ash baruch hu kol habru'im v'hama'asim aval neida b'li safek shema'aseh adam b'yad adam v'en ha'ash baruch hu moshcho v'lo gozer alav la'asos kach. But what you should understand is that we are free, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not decree upon him to do one thing or the other. Now, what's he saying? He's saying that while with respect to human knowledge, there is indeed a contradiction between foreknowledge and free will. In other words, if I were to know what you were going to do tomorrow, then you wouldn't be free. If I knew with 100% certainty that you, tomorrow, Tyler, you're going to have raisin bran for breakfast, so then you couldn't have Cheerios. But with respect to divine knowledge, there is no contradiction between free will and foreknowledge. We know these things, namely free will, the truth of free will, and also, I guess, foreknowledge, not just because we have a Mesorah for it, not just because it's in the Torah, but we have Rayos Bruos Medivre Chachma. It could be proven philosophically. Therefore, a person is judged based off of their actions. We're held accountable. We're given responsibility. So this is what the Rambam says. The nature of human knowledge, foreknowledge, are different. Let's try to explain that a little more. When we know something, we learn it from, let's say, observation, contemplation. We figure it out. We see it. Someone teaches it to us. That's true with respect to our knowledge. With respect to God's knowledge, he knows himself. He knows everything, including future events. The way the Rambam puts it in Mor Nevuchim, Chelek Gimel, Perek Chaf, is that God's knowledge is not different from his essence. Now, the Rambam told us to look at Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Beis, where he discusses this earlier. He writes about this in Halacha Tes and Halacha Yud over there. Akol nimtzeim chutz min haborei mitzur rishona ad yitush katan shiyeh betibur haaretz. Hakol mikoch amitato nimtzeu. So everything exists because of the truth of God's existence. Lefi shel yodea atzmo umakir gdulaso v'tifarto v'amitaso hu yodea hakol v'ein davar ne'elam mimenu. Right. So how does God know everything? How does God know everything, including the future? Because he knows himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makir amito v'yodea osa kemo shehi. V'eino yodea v'dea shechutz mimenu. He doesn't know things because of knowledge that are external to him. Kemo she'anu yodim, like we know things. She'en anu v'da'atenu achad, like we said. Aval ha'borei barach hu v'da'ato v'chayav. Echad mikol tzad u'mikol pina u'v'chol derech yichud. So there's absolute oneness in him. She'el malei hayachai b'chayim v'yodea b'da'as chutz mimenu hayu sham elohos harbei. Let's say God knew things like we knew. So then there would be a trinity. There would be God. There would be his life or his existence, and there would be his knowledge. God is absolutely one. This is not something that we could really fully understand. And the Rambam then goes ahead and he brings some textual proof for this from the Psukim. So let's actually, you know what, we'll leave that now. It is worthwhile, we don't have time today to look at the Mor Nevuchim Gimel Chaf, where he makes the same point. Now, you know, a question that we could ask is, so Rambam answered the question, right? He raised the question, how is a divine foreknowledge and different from free will? Has he answered the question? So at first glance, it sounds like he didn't. He just said, you know what? You can't understand the answer to this question. But if we read it carefully, and this is a point made by the Avodas HaMelech over here, Rambam has, in fact, answered the question, at least to some degree.
Who wrote the Avodas HaMelech?
Rav Menachem Krakowski. He died in 1930. He was a Talmud of Reb Chaim, also the Netziv. So anyhow, he points out that he has answered this question. Because he's noted the difference in the manner in which we acquire knowledge versus the way God acquires knowledge. And the point that he's saying is we acquire knowledge by observing things that are external to us. So for a human to know the future would have to exist. And that would preclude the possibility of free will. On the other hand, God doesn't acquire knowledge by observing things that are external to him. Thinks since nothing is independent of him, like we just read, he's the source of all existence. So the means by which God acquires knowledge doesn't preclude the possibility of free will. Now, even having said that, the Rambam also says we can't really understand that. In other words, To fully grasp the nature of how God knows things is something that is beyond us. Now, okay, so that's what the Rambam said. Now, I'd like to turn now to Perek Vav of Hilchos Teshuva. And there the Rambam seems to ask the same question that he's asked over here, but give a different answer. And if we want to understand Rambam's position, we have to figure out what's the difference between what he's saying in Perek Hey and in Perek Vav. So take a look. Perek Vav, Halacha Hey. V'alo kasuv batorah, v'adum v'inu osa, hare gazar al hamitzriyim la'asos ra, v'ksim, v'kam ha'am hazev v'zana, achare Elohei nechar ha'aretz, hare gazar l'Yisrael l'avod kochavim u'mazalos, v'lama nifra mehen. Here the Rambam asks, how could it be that God punishes the Mitzriim? Hello, it says in the Torah, Vavaduminu Osam, the kasha we asked at the very beginning. Likewise, it says about the Jewish people after they enter the land of Canaan, they're going to turn idolatrous. So why does God punish them? Seems like a very similar question. Right? Isn't this just the same question? God already told us what's going to happen. So how could we be punished? God knows what's going to happen. If Hashem knows what's going to happen, how could we be punished for doing that which is wrong? How could the Egyptians be punished for doing that which is wrong? So if you take a look at the Lecha Mishnah over here, he notes this and he says, yeah, in Lechanami, we ask the same question again as before. Now he's going to give a different answer. If you look at the Or Sameach over here, he says clearly that's not the case. The Rambam doesn't do that. And if we think about it very carefully, we'll see this is a new question with a new answer. We're going to actually go ahead and consider two Mahalchim now. I think they're both correct, but they're different. Two Mahalchim, how to understand the difference between his Kasha in Parakeh and his Kasha in Parak Vav. And also then the different answers that he gives, and I think a very important yisod will come out. So the first mahalich to distinguish between Parakeh and Parak Vav, as I said, is an Or Sameach. And it's very short and very sweet. He simply says, Kol Hadibor Taos, Lecha Mishnah is entirely wrong. Shiyadiyas Hanevim Machrachas. The idea of Nevi'im is, in fact, Muchrach. Now, what does he mean? This distinction is very simple. What was the answer in Parakeh? The answer in Parakeh is there's no contradiction between divine foreknowledge and free will. The Rambam acknowledged that there would be a contradiction between human foreknowledge and free will. Because, like he said, humans know things not through knowing themselves, but through external knowledge, because they're being told. So what was the kasha? The kasha is that when Hashem told Avram Avinu in the Brisbane Abisarim, Ger Yezarach HaBeretz Lolohem, it was no longer simply divine foreknowledge. Now it was human foreknowledge. It was prophecy. God told Avram Avinu what's going to happen. So now it couldn't be otherwise, right? Just three words, and the Or Sameach answers the kasha. Yedias ha-nevi'im machrachas. When a navi knows something, then it is machrach. Then it must be that way. It couldn't be otherwise. So now it's so beautiful. His kasha is a totally different kasha. His kasha is, yeah, we dealt with the issue of divine foreknowledge and free will, but now we have a kasha. But sometimes Hashem tells a Navi the future. He told Avram Avinu that the Egyptians would persecute the Jewish people. He told Klal Yisrael in the Torah that the Jewish people would do Avodah Zarah. How could they be punished? The answer that he said in Parakeh is totally irrelevant at this point. Now it's human foreknowledge. That's a deterministic. Yeah. God's knowledge of the enslavement wouldn't compel the Egyptians, but Avram Avinu's knowledge certainly would. So he needs a new answer. So what is the Rambam answer? Let's read. Lefi shelo gazar al ish ploni hayadua shiyahu hazone. Ela kol echad ve'echad me'osan hazonim lavod kochavim umazalos. Ilo ratza lavod lo hayaoved. God did not decree about any particular actor, any one of the Jewish people that did choose to serve idolatry could have chosen not to do so. Same thing with the Egyptians. The lo hodio habore ela minhago shel olam. God told us the minhago shel olam. This is human behavior. This is what happens. If I tell you that nation has or will have tzaddikim and rishonim, we're not going to say any particular individual who decided to become a rasha. he had to become a Rasha because God told that to Moshe. Kinyan Shenemar, Ki lo yachdal avyo mikarav haaretz, just like the pasuk says that poverty will not cease from the land. Doesn't, that's the nature of the world. It doesn't have a compelling effect on any particular actor. V'chein ha-mitzriyim, kol achad v'yachad me'osan ha-mitzriyim, ha-mitzriyim ha-meriyim li-Yisrael, ilu lo ratza la-hara lahem, ha-rishas bi'ado. If they didn't want to do it, they had that power. Shelo gazar alish yadua, ela hodio shesov zaro asid lishtabet be'aretz lahem. He didn't talk about any individual. Truth is, he didn't even say the Egyptians. He just said, in the end, at a certain point in time, your descendants will be persecuted in a land that isn't theirs. Which is the other thing that was the answer that he said from Parakeh. So that's the Rambam. Rambam's answer to this question. Now, if we take a look at the Ravid over here, he doesn't like this. He objects. Amar Avram, Elim arichos dvarim she'en mitubalim. V'chai roshi kimat ani omer she'em divrei nairus. Yomar abore lezonim lama zanisa. V'ani lo hizkartichai. He's going to say to the zonim, those who stray, why did you stray? Because I didn't identify you by name. Kadesha tomar shalacha gzeirasi. Yomar lo azonim. The people who did stray, they could say to Hashem, "Thou michal gzeirascha nu." So who is it chalan? Alos and shalos anu. Those who didn't stray, hine lo neskam gzeirascha. Then it wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have happened. So what would the Rambam say back? The Rambam might respond that certain events are predictable on a macro level, even while individual actors retain freedom. And the truth is, we have many parallels in the physical universe. We can't predict a particular path of an electron on a quantum level, but we could accurately predict movements of larger bodies made up of those very same electrons. Many other examples, even not on the quantum level, I think. So the same thing could be true, the Rambam says, about human behavior. You know, government statisticians or cooks in a cafeteria, they all try to make certain predictions about general behavior patterns, which are quite accurate as long as you don't need that much specificity. Big data can allow remarkably accurate predictions about future behavior without any violation of free will. Again, as long as the predictions are not that specific. And the predictions that we're talking about here aren't that specific. And therefore, if humans, Lahavdil, could make such predictions, so certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu can, who knows our nature even greater than us. So that's the first Mahalik we're going to say today to answer up, to understand how the Kash and Parakeh of Hilchos Tshuva is different than the Kash of Parakeh Vav and Hilchos Tshuva. But I think we could say another pshat besides the Or Sameach. So again, I think it's correct. But if we look back at Parakeh, the Rambam is actually asking a different question. Parakeh, the Rambam's addressing an epistemological question. How is foreknowledge compatible with the seeming indeterminism of free will? And to this, he answers a very philosophical distinction, the distinction between human knowledge and divine knowledge. Perek Vav, the Rambam asks a different kasha. If you read it carefully, his kasha is, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was gozer on the Mitzrayim to persecute the Jews, how could they be punished? So this isn't an epistemological question. It relates to a different question, which is, how can God's plans in history allow for free will? Right? That's his kasha. Saying, one second, God had a gzeira over here. There was a gzeira that the Jews would be mishubadim. And if there's a gzeira, that doesn't allow for free will. It's not the epistemological problem. To this, the Rambam answers that God's plans on a macro level, but that still allows for the freedom of individual actors. Now, if you actually read the Ravid again, it's clear he was also aware of this distinction because he also gives a different answer in Parakei and Parak Vav to the Rambam's question. Maybe we'll get back to the Rambam's answer, Ravid's answer in Parakei. It's a very interesting answer. In Parakei, when we read the Ravid carefully, we'll see Ravid might be answering the question of divine foreknowledge and free will by, to some degree, denying divine foreknowledge. That's the simplest reading of the Ravid. That's the Ravid, though, and not Ravid, maybe the Ravid also, and not the Ravid, though. Ravid and Ravid may be saying the same thing, but we'll get there. That's Parakei. But let's, since we're over here, take a look at the Ravid's answer in Parak Vav. Okay? So again, the Ravid also, he has a different, the Ravid objects to what the Rambam says in Parakei, and he also objects to what the Rambam says in Parak Vav. He's aware that it's two kashas with two teirutim. He just doesn't like either one. So what does the Ravid say over here in Parak Vav? What does the Ravid say? So what was his kasha, right? His kasha was, God says to the Egyptian who beats the Jewish people, said, you know, why do you beat the Jews? So they said, what do you mean? You said. So the Egyptian would say, God says back, well, you didn't tell me, I didn't tell you to do it. So I'll say, okay, so who'd you tell? Right, the guy who didn't do it? If not for me, this wouldn't have happened. So therefore, the Ravid has an alternative solution. And this is a very, very important thing. The Ravid writes, had the Egyptians basically listened to Moshe and released the Jews, they would not have been punished. Right? Well, let's read the Ravid. It's a little tricky. There's actually two parts to this answer, the Ravid. To read it very carefully. Let's read it. Avokam ha'am hazeh v'zana kvar amarnu she'ein b'inin hazeh yediyas abore gzera v'kol she'kein b'kan sh'av Moshe amar ki yashchis tashchisun hein b'odeni chayim machen v'af ki achavei mosi v'kol she'kein habore shehaya yachol lomar kein b'lo gzera. So this, I think, is applying his answer from Parakei, which we're going to get back to shortly, that foreknowledge and event doesn't contradict the freedom of the actors. But then he adds something, because, you know, that answer wouldn't suffice over here. And he writes, the Inyan HaMitzrayim Eina She'ela Mishnei Panim Ha'echad Ki Adar Yadua She'ena bore nifra me'adam ra, ela bera mimenu. Ve'achar she'yifra mizeh, yachser ve'yifra min hara mimenu. Berisho, v'chein hu omer, hoi ashur. Shevet api. Hatimcha shodeid tushad perash mepneirish acha v'godel libcha v'tifarcha alai v'mitzvim gamkin reshaim hayu v'uyim lamakos hahem v'ilu shamum l'moshe b'tchila v'shalchu es Yisrael lo hayu lokim v'lo tavu b'yam aval zdono shel paro Uvazoso es habore yisborach lifnei shluchai hu garam lo. Vasheni, ki habore amar v'anu v'inu osam, v'heim avdu bam b'farach. V'emisu mehem, v'tavu mehem, k'inyin shenamar, ani katzafti me'at, v'heim azru l'ra'a l'fikach nischaivu. So what is the Ravid answering over here? So the Ravid is saying something quite remarkable and with very significant implications, right? He's saying, had the Egyptians initially listened to Moshe, right, and released the Jews, they would not have been punished. Why? No, isn't enslavement immoral? So the Ravid is acknowledging the question. He's saying the answer is that there is a gzera that the Jewish people should be enslaved. So the Egyptians could not be punished for carrying out the divine decree. However, they didn't listen when God said to leave. Moshe showed up at that point and said, you know, let my people go. And the Egyptians should have said, okay. But they didn't. And moreover, the Ravid adds, they went much further than the gzera, or much further than the prophecy at Bris Ben Abisarim. The prophecy in Bris Ben Abisarim did predict persecution, but not avodas perach, not killing the children. They did so much more. And for that, they were held accountable. Now let's think about this for a moment. Let's think about it.
They didn't know Hashem's decree, meaning they weren't aware of Hashem.
If you say that, then I don't think the Ravid's answer makes much sense. In other words, if you're right, the Ravid's saying, let's say they had only done the decree, right? Let's say they had just done what it said in the Bris Ben Abisarim, Bavadum Yinu Osam, but no more, then they would not have been punished. Now, I have a kasha. Every person, before, you know, on Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, it's nigzar that they should die that year, right? People, so any murderer should be exonerated because they're fulfilling the divine decree, right? Assuming they didn't do more than the divine decree. So maybe we'll say, yeah, but if you know the divine decree, it's different. Now, even if we assume that, now you're correct in saying that's a very strange assumption. How would the Egyptians have known about the Bris Ben Abisarim? But even if we assume that, the Ravid is still saying an incredible thing, because the Egyptians were not commanded to persecute the Jewish people. There was no tzivui. They simply did it, right? I would have thought that unless God tells you to do something, then if you do it, it's still wrong, assuming it's an immoral act. But let's look at the other example that the Ravid cites at the beginning, right? The Ravid refers to Ashur. And the truth is that this answer, the Ravid, is stated even more clearly in the Ramban. But the Ramban also refers to Ashur. The Ramban is on the Bris Ben Abisarim. It's Perek Tes Vav and Bereishis Pasuk Yodal. This is on your source sheets. V'da, v'havein, ki ha'ish shenechtav v'nechtam b'Rosh Hashanah l'hariga, lo yinakeh ha'listim ha'orego sa'o b'avur sha'asa ma'ash shegazer alav, halo rasha b'avono yamos v'damo miyada rotzeh hivukash. A murderer goes ahead, kills somebody, even though there is a zera that the person should die, of course the murderer is held accountable. But if there's a nevuah about it, yesh ba'osel sadinim, then it depends. Ki im shama osa v'ratza lasos ratzon boro. If he listens and is mechavim l'shem shamayim, kenigzar ein alav chet av yesh l'schus bo, then it's a schus. Kasher amar b'yehu, and he gives an example by Yehu. Ya'an asher hativosa la'asosa yasher b'enai kechol asher bilvavi asisa leves achav banim revi'im yeshvu al kisei Yisrael. Now Yehu didn't end up doing everything so perfectly, but he did follow the nevuah given to Eliyahu to wipe out Beis Achav, and that's considered a merit. Avalim shama mitzvah v'harag oso l'sina. But had he done it for out of hatred, a little shlolo so, yeshel of onesh. Why? Ki hu l'chayt niskavein v'aveira hu lo. Because he's mechavein for wickedness. So in other words, what's he saying? He's saying, you know, when a person does a moral act, so it's a moral act regardless of whether you intended to be mekayim the mitzvah sabore or not. But if you do something that's generally considered immoral, like murder or enslavement, so then it depends. It's a mitzvah if you intend to carry out God's plan, let's say as Yehu did when he mercilessly wiped out Beis Achav, But if you did it for some other reason, like hatred, so then you're deserving of punishment. Now, what's so fascinating is that we compare the case of the Egyptian enslavement to Yehu. Now, why is that so surprising? Because Yehu isn't such a chiddush. Yehu will say there was a tzivui of the Navi, right? He was instructed by the Navi to do this. He knew about the Nevuah. But the Ramban is implying this to the case of the Egyptians. And he's saying that because the Egyptians, like the Ravid said, because they went beyond Avraham's path, so the Egyptians had demonstrated that they weren't acting. Maybe mute yourself. Maybe I should mute everybody. So what he showed was not just there. He showed that it's not just doing it to carry out the divine plan. Because if their kavana was the same mind, they would have done what Hashem said. So by the Egyptians doing so much more than that which it said in the Brisbe Namasarim, so they showed they weren't acting to carry out the divine will. And as such, they were punished. Now, here we have a very, very important idea, right? Let me ask you a very basic question. Is it we've talked a lot about God's plan. Is it our responsibility to carry out divine's plan, God's plan in history? Or do we simply say, no, our job is to follow the Torah, do what we think is right, and God will carry out his agenda as he sees fit. So the Ramban's position over here is that anyone who acts to carry out God's plan is doing a mitzvah, even if he's not commanded. And moreover, that mitzvah applies regardless of whether the act would otherwise be prohibited by the Torah. Now, of course, you can't, you have to be a Navi to know God's plans. You can't just guess what God's plan is and then carry it out. Many people have done many, many immoral acts claiming to be doing God's plans, but they had no legitimate basis to say that this was God's plans. But if you actually know, because you're a genuine Navi or you're told by a genuine Navi what God's plans are, then to carry it out is a mitzvah. Ramban is l'shitaso in other places. I'll mention one other place where you see Ramban say this, is how the Ramban understands the whole story of Yosef. Remember, Yosef tortures his father, right, when he accuses his brothers of being a spy. Now, that he tortures his brother is fine, maybe. But why his father, right? Now, the Ramban says, let's take a step back. What exactly was Yosef doing, right? The brothers come down to Egypt. He accuses them of being a spies. He detains Shimon so as to get Binyamin down, right? All the while causing tremendous additional aggravation, tsar, to Yaakov. So what's he doing? Is it an act of vengeance? So the Ramban says no. If we read the Psukim carefully, it's clear. Vayizkor Yosef es chalom Osav. Yosef was trying to carry out the dreams that he had. Yosef understood his dreams weren't just ordinary dreams, they were prophetic dreams. And he was carrying out the dreams. He could still ask, but there was no tzivoy. There's no instructions. The dreams didn't say, you make sure your brothers bow. Nevertheless, the Ramban says that Yosef understood that he had the obligation to do what he could to carry out those dreams. And therefore he does this. You see this elsewhere in Ramban, in Bereishis, Perek Mem Tes, Pasuk Yud, and other places as well. Now, we should note, before I want to just make this point, but then we'll get back to Ramban, that there are those who reject Ramban's Mahalich over here, and they say, no, you're not allowed to do something that would otherwise be immoral unless there's an explicit divine command, like let's say in the case of Akedas Yitzchak. But so there are those that reject this Mahalach of the Ramban. Look at the Akedas Yitzchak, Yitzchak Arama. He says that if Hashem didn't tell you to do it, that doesn't justify immoral behavior. But this is Ramban's Mahalach in a number of places. I thought, by the way, you see the Rav say something very similar to this in Halachic Man. On page 100, he writes, Halachic Man discerns in every divine pledge man's obligation to bring about its fulfillment. In every promise, a specific norm. In every eschatological vision, an everlasting commandment. The commandment to participate in the realization of the prophecy. Again, these are nevuos about the future, but Halachic Man discerns in that a chiyuv. If you remember, we talked about this a little bit. It's the Rav Lishitasa. We talked about his Mahalach on Amalek and his distinction between the divine pledge from Parshas B'Shalach and the Tzivoy in Sefer Dvarim, Ayin Sham. It's also the Mahalach of the Gra with respect to the case of Mechiras Yosef or Yosef's behavior, as well as other Rishonim. But I'll just read you the Gra Nadaris Eliyahu, Perek Membeis, Pasuk Tes, writes, Ulekach ekdima ator v'yizkor Yosef's chalamos, lehodia shekol ma sha'asa lo asa ela meirov tzidkaso sheyikuimu hachalomos shelo lahakchish ratzon b'gzeres elyon. Zeu klal ha-Torah. Right? The klal ha-Torah is, we're not supposed to be makchish gzeres elyon. So, that's the Ramban's Mahalich. And there's an interesting question in terms of what that means in terms of doing what we can to bring the Mashiach and the like, but that's a different story. So what have we seen so far? And then we'll talk more about the other approaches to divine foreknowledge and free will. What have we seen so far? We said like this. We started off by noting the Rambam asks two kashas, one in Parakei Vechotshuva, one in Parak Vav. In Parakei, he asks the Shaila, how is divine foreknowledge compatible with free will? To which he answered basically that there is a difference in the nature of divine foreknowledge than human knowledge, divine knowledge in general than human knowledge. And while it may be the case that with respect to human knowledge, there would be a contradiction between foreknowledge and free will with respect to God's knowledge, which is not external to him, but inherent within him, there is no contradiction between foreknowledge and free will. Then we looked at Perek Vav, the Rambam asked, how could it be that Hashem tells Avram Avinu, Yadoa Teidaki Geryaz Aracha Be'eretz Lo Lahem, Vavadu Minu Asam, and at the same time, he punishes Egyptians for what they did. We asked, why is he asking the same kasha twice? And we gave two answers. The first answer, I guess three answers. Lecha Mishnah and Chanam, it's the same answer twice. But that was very problematic. Then we saw the Or Sameach's answer. Or Sameach says that the difference is that in Perek Hey, he was arguing that there's no contradiction between divine foreknowledge and free will. But once Avram Avinu was told prophetically about the enslavement of his descendants, so then it's now no longer a divine foreknowledge. Macro level, there is this prediction, but on a micro level, each individual retains their freedom. The other answer that we gave to distinguish between Parakei and Parak Vav is that Parakei, he's asking the kasha of about just knowledge of the future, to which his answer suffices. But in Parak Vav, he's saying, no, here it's a different story. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a gzeira, had a plan. And since he had a plan, so how could God have a plan and carry out his plan and still allow for the freedom of the actors? The answer is, in a chanami, they could, because the individuals are still free. The plan is broad enough to allow for the individual freedom of the actors. We saw the Ravid and the Ramban both reject Ramban's answer, and they give a different answer of their own. Their answer is that the difference is that in the case where someone is actually fulfilling a prophecy, even without a tzivui, as long as they're acting l'shem shemayim, which could be seen by their not going beyond that which God had actually said, So then it's a mitzvah. We saw the Ramban says this also in other places, like in a story with Yosef. Okay, so now what we're going to do is go back to the first question and look at other mahalchim in terms of the stira between foreknowledge and free will. Now, we started off by saying that we don't have that much time left, so I'm going to we'll discuss these answers a little bit more bekitzer, though. With each of the answers we'll consider, we could really spend many hours on each of these answers. The first answer we're going to see is you could see again in your source sheets, is from Rasad Yagon. The Rivash, I think, is also saying this. And they're basically arguing that there is no contradiction between foreknowledge and free will. That the presumption that these two ideas are logically incompatible is false. There's no logical reason to assume that free will and foreknowledge are incompatible. Rather, what it means is that God knows what we are going to freely choose to do in the future, right? That's basically what he answers. Kevan, I'll read you from Rasadia Gon, Nim Tomar, Kevan Shehu Yodaya, Bameshi Yeh, Vekvar Yada, Shehadam Yimra Dvaro, Hare Mukhrach Adam Lahamros, Kadesh Shetiskan Yediasom, skipping a little. Omer Kane, Hain Lo Raya, Shiadiasa Bore, Esadvaran, Hisiba Savayasan. Just because God knows it doesn't mean it's the cause. Knowing something will happen isn't the cause. If anyone, took Dr. Johnson in college and took his ancient and medieval philosophy class. So Dr. Johnson very deftly demonstrated that there's actually no, the contradiction between foreknowledge and free will is the error of the slipped modal operator. It's simply assuming that because something is true, it's necessarily true. And if you actually write out the steps of this contradiction, you'll see that's the case. The Rasadia Gon doesn't use those formal steps, but that's basically what he's saying. That just because something is true, it doesn't mean it's necessarily true. Right? We talked about this a couple weeks ago, right? When we say something is necessarily true, it means it could not have been otherwise. Something may be true, but it's accidentally true, or it's contingent in the sense that it could have been this way, but it's not that way. So if it's true, just one second, if it's true that God knows that a person is going to choose X, so that knowledge isn't compulsory because it's not necessarily true. It merely happens to be true. So that's, I think, the answer of the Rav Sadia Gon, the Rivash, and others. Let me just go through some of the other answers briefly, and then I'll take your questions. We saw the Rambam's answer. The Rambam seems to disagree. He does see it's that these are, he does see them as incompatible, at least on one level, but not on human level. I said we would go back to the Ravid's answer. So let's take a look at the Ravid. And this is the Ravid from Perek Hey. We saw the Ravid in Perek Vav before, and now we're going to go back to what the Ravid says in Perek Hey. Amar Avram, lo nahag zeh mechaber min ha-kachamim, she'en adam mascha b'davar v'lo yedah l'ashlimo, v'u echel b'she'elos kushyos, v'niach adavar b'kushya v'chziro le'emuna. So Rambam asked the question, and he didn't really answer it. So you sort of have to come back to emuna. Now, we argued that the Rambam did, to some degree, answer the question. But he's sort of saying, no, the Rambam hasn't really answered the question, because ultimately, he has to, you know, say, and this is something you can't really understand. This is an interesting educational question. You know, if you can't really answer a question, should you raise it? It's going to cause people to lose their faith, possibly. You know, what would the Rambam respond? Rambam might respond, you should ask the question because it's a good question, even if you can't answer it. Or the Rambam might respond, well, anyway, I did answer the question. But one way or the other, the Ravid then offers a solution, which he admits, interestingly, is only a partial solution. tshuva mitzachas al zeh. Tovu l'smoch lo k'tzas tshuva v'yomer. So I'm going to give a partial answer. Im hayu tzidkas ha'adam. Now, we have to read this very carefully because it happens to be that this ravid is subject to a major debate, what he means. And there's two mahalchim in the Rishonim themselves about how to understand the ravid. So what does he say? V'im hayu tzidkas ha'adam v'rishato t'luyim b'gzeiras ha'borei yisborach hayinu omim she'yediyaso hi gzeiraso v'haysa lanu ha'she'ila kasha me'od. If we said that the righteousness of a person or his wickedness are t'luyim b'gzeira of Hashem, so then taka, it would be a strong kasha. V'achshav shabore hisir zu hamemshalam yado masra biyad adam atzmo. Right? So this is the key line. Right now, Hashem took away that power. He gave it over to man. En yedi'aso gzeira. So now, his yediyah isn't a gzeira. Aval hi ki yediyah sa'etztagninim. It's like the knowledge of future tellers, shiyodim mikoach acher mayed darkav drachav shelzeh. They know through some other means what's going to be the way of that person. Vadav yadua shakol mikra adam katan begadol mas rabari b'kocha mazalos. Ella shenasan bo haseichel lihioso machziko latzeis mitachas hamazal. So on one hand, Hashem gave the koach to mazalos. But on the other hand, he gave human beings through their seichel to be released, to go against their mazel. And that's the bechira. That's the way that a person is free. The Kodesh Baruch Hu knows exactly what the mazel is. Right? He knows exactly what the naturally deterministic pathway would be. And he knows that whether a person has koach in their seichel to leave that fate, but that knowledge, in other words, God's knowledge that a person, what the person's mazel is, and also their ability and the extent of their ability to change that, is not a gzeira. And then he concludes, So this answer is not complete. It's worthless. Oh. So what exactly is he saying? Right? He begins by noting that his knowledge isn't a decree, meaning to say that it's contingent. And so our freedom is preserved. And then he explains why. And he says this very interesting line, which is that God has divested himself of this power and given it to man, right? That was a line that I said was so important, that the achshav shabore hisir zu hamem shalom biyado umasra biyad ha'adam atzmo, meaning to say, right, of course God could know the future and he could control our acts, but he has given over that power to man by giving them free will. So then what is the nature of his knowledge? So the Ravid answers that it resembles the astrologers who know something with some other force, what's going to happen to a particular person. But then he writes, just like an astrologer's knowledge of the future doesn't limit their freedom, so too God's knowledge does not prevent that sort of self-determination. Now, had the Ravid stopped here, I would have thought that the Ravid's agrees that God has total foreknowledge. But he doesn't. He goes on and he writes that it's well known that God gave the mazalos, koach, over things relating to man. But he gave man the powers to emerge from the shackles of mazalos. And then he knows the strength of the mazal, and he knows human ability to strength, intellectual power, etc., to go past that. And then he says, well, this answer is not complete. So what's he saying? I think the simplest way to read the Ravid, though, again, this is not compelling. The Rivash doesn't read the Ravid this way. Simplest way to read the Ravid, though, I think, is that there is a contradiction between absolute foreknowledge and free will. Meaning if God knew I was going to do X, then I couldn't do non-X. But he's saying that by giving man free will to some degree, God has limited his foreknowledge, right? He's limited his foreknowledge. And that's what he's saying. You know, so ultimately, God knows exactly what man's inclination is, what naturally things will turn out and the like. He knows man's ability to rise against those constraints. But does he know what man will choose? I don't know. I think he sounds like he's not. As I said, this is, even if the Ravid didn't say this, it's the view of Ralbag, more or less. And might even be Rashi's view. Some Achronim think Rashi say that. Now, at first glance, this answer seems very, very strange. And it certainly is not the mainstream view. How could we possibly say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know the future? Isn't God all-knowing? The answer, though, is that it's actually not such a problematic answer if we think about it in the following sense. If we assume that, in fact, there is a logical contradiction between free will and foreknowledge, it's impossible for us to be free and for God to know with absolute certainty every decision we'll make. There's a contradiction, a logical contradiction. And we also believe that God gave us free will. Like the Ravid said, it was a gift. It was, so then, if that's true, so then logically, God can't know the future. So is that a problem to say that God can't break logic? So this could be a whole nother shiur. If you want, maybe after Pesach, we could talk about it. But a number of Rishonim assume that, and this includes the Rambam, the Rashba, and others, Chronim as well, Chazon Ish writes this, that of course God can't do something that's illogical. And that's not a chisaron. We can't attribute or ascribe any chisaron to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But not being able to do something that by definition can't be done isn't a chisaron. I'll give you a mashal, right? Could God destroy himself? No. Could he replicate himself? No. Could he corporeify himself? No. These are things that are by definition. It would be a chisaron. If God could destroy himself, that would mean his existence isn't necessary. So if indeed it is the case that it is impossible to both know the future and at the same time there to be free will, then to say, yeah, enachinami, so must be God doesn't know the future, is not a problem. Now, okay, we could return to that question as well. Just to mention some of the other famous mahalchim in this, which we don't have time to assess really. There is a mahalich of Rabbeinu Kreskes. This is a not generally accepted position, but he resolves the question to some degree by limiting free will. Now, to what degree does he limit free will? He doesn't do so entirely, and what he really means is quite complex and obscure. And again, maybe we could go back to it, I'm not sure. Earlier in the year, when we talked about the approach of the Arizal and Arba Meir Shekel Kesef and Reb Tzadok and the like, we talked about answers that seem to be a little similar to Rabbeinu Kreskes, but I think are fundamentally different. The idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has freedom for knowledge on one level, and that taka contradicts freedom, and we have freedom on another level. Makom yediyah in bechira, b'akom makom bechira in yediyah. It's a different type of answer than the Rambam l'chora, though it's other things the Rambam saying it. And what does that mean? So that we discussed extensively. There is an answer that a number of later thinkers take for granted, which is, if you want one place to see it, you could look at the Tosas Yantif and Per Gimel Mishnah Chaf Aleph and Avos. The idea that there's no contradiction between divine foreknowledge and free will because God exists outside of time. The very idea that the whole notion that there is a contradiction is almost speaking about God as though he exists in time. If God knows what's going to happen in the future, how could I do otherwise? The notion of future, past, are irrelevant with respect to God because God is not limited by time. He created time. The Rambam writes, the Gra writes about how time was actually the very first of creations. So there's really much more to say about all this, but we're out of time. So I'll leave you with one cute vart for the Seder relating that comes out from the ideas we've been saying, mostly within the Mahalich of the Ramban and the Rambam, and then we'll stop. So the Shaila is like this. Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah were facing the question of death or not, or doing Avodah Zarah. And it says that they decided to refuse Nebuchadnezzar. Why? They made a Kal V'chomer from the frogs. They said, if the frogs were willing to give their lives, and they don't even think, they're not even humans, they weren't commanded in the Torah, so certainly we must do so, right? They weren't commanded. So the story goes that once upon a time, the Shagas Aryeh, after Shul on Shabbos, used to gather, people for Vart, and he asked a question. He would ask a riddle. So his question was, what do you mean that how did the Gemara say that the frogs weren't commanded? But one second, they surely were commanded. After all, the Pasuk says that the frogs are going to go, here, there, and everywhere. They're going to go in your mixing bowl, and they're going to go in your oven. So the Pasuk says that they will go in the oven. They were commanded. What kind of Kal V'chomer were they making? So there's a little boy in the crowd. I think they say he was, 5 or 6 years old. His name was Eliyahu. And he answered, no, they weren't commanded because it didn't say which frogs were going to go in the oven. Right? Just said that there are going to be frogs that are going to be in the oven, the Tanarecha. So the Shagas Aryeh kissed the Vilna Gaon, who was just Eliyahu at the time, on the head, and he told him he had a great future. So but let's try to understand the answer a little better. Right, so it's exactly what the Rambam was saying. What the Rambam is saying is, but it's also what the Rambam is saying. The Rambam saying is that, yeah, the prediction was simply that some frogs would be here, frogs will be there. But every frog, could have said, okay, I don't have to be the one to jump in the oven. I'm going to be the one that's going to, be on the nose and the toes, right, on the head and on the bed. Why do I have to be the one in the oven? So Taka, they chose to go in the oven. And that was the basis of the Mesiras Nefesh of Hanani Mishael Azariah. Now it's especially meduyak because Tosfos over there says by Hanani Mishael Azariah that it wasn't a Avodah Zarah mamish. That's why the rest of the people, when they refused to bow, weren't necessarily doing the wrong thing. They volunteered. But why? Voluntary martyrdom? The answer is somebody had to stand up to Nebuchadnezzar. Everybody could have said, okay, so yeah, it's true. Somebody's got to stand up to this guy and refuse. But it doesn't have to be me. And that's what Hanani Mishael Azariah learned from the frogs. Hanan and Shaul Bazari learned from the frogs that everybody, every frog could have said, yeah, we have to stand up. Doesn't have to be me. Doesn't have to be me. And the frogs that went into the oven said, yeah, but somebody's got to do it. And let the gzeira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu be mekuyim through us. And that's exactly what the Ramban and the Ravid are saying. That's a chus, to do what you can to carry out the divine will. And that's exactly what Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah did. They said, okay, so someone's got to stand up to Nebuchadnezzar and let it be me. Not to just say, yeah, somebody's got to do it, but, you know, why should I be the one to do it? But to say, no, somebody's got to do it and let it be me. Let the gzeir of HaKadosh Baruch Hu be mekuyim through me. Let Ratzon Hashem be mekuyim through me. That's the lesson that they learned from the frogs. That to take that responsibility to ensure that Hashem's plan be filled out, be filled up, and be followed through. So I want to wish you all a Chag Kasher V'Sameach. And as I said, Be'ez Hashem will pick up after Yom Tov. I know there were some questions, so if anyone wants to ask them now, please, by all means. And have a good Shabbos and a good Yom Tov.
Maybe my question was on the Rambam, the idea that foreknowledge isn't causative, because it seems like Rambam was describing God's omniscience in a way where the knowledge is causative, right? If meaning the way he uses a very roundabout way of saying that, but he says if God knew perfectly, it could not be otherwise.
Wait. You're quoting the Rambam, so show me the Rambam you're quoting. Where do you see? Okay, one second. Let me open it up. Go back to here. Okay, so yeah, where? Dash atshuva sheila zua ruha meretz midu rechava mineyam. The kami prang dolan varim rambam to limba.
Wait, Rabbi, sorry, it's at the beginning where he talks about the question, right? Where he gives the framework of a question. It'll be at the very beginning.
Yodeya Mashiya Vikodem Shiya Yada Shazeya Tzadik Orasha Oloyada Im Yada Shihu Yatzadik Yasha Shalo Yatzadik Vim Toma Shiyada Shiya Tzadik Vashiya Rasha Hare Lo Yada Davra Boryo. So what's your deal?
Right. So that right there, it seems to me that that's saying with many words that God's knowledge is causative. That if God knew perfectly, then what?
Well, that's what he's saying is false. I mean, that's the Hava Mina. And he rejects that.
Does he reject that?
Yes, absolutely. He says that he absolutely rejects that. He says God knows exactly what's going to be, but that doesn't prevent me from doing it, right? And that's exactly his answer. He's saying that divine foreknowledge, because God's knowledge is inherent, it doesn't preclude the other possibility.
Isn't that kind of like saying you can't understand it, therefore be quiet?
No, it's very different. He's saying that the answer is there's a distinction between the nature of human knowledge and divine knowledge, or inherent knowledge versus external knowledge. And that the presumption in the question is true with respect to human knowledge or external knowledge, and it's not true with respect to divine knowledge. So, he's answered the question. He said that you can't, what he said you can't understand is the nature of divine knowledge. And that's what he says both in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah as well as over here.
So I think that the Rambam's answer that the Ravid pointed out is that Rambam did point to a distinction, but he never explained why that distinction is a relevant one.
Okay.
God's knowledge is different than us, but how does that get us out of the problem? And we're still in the problem.
He hasn't. He. Okay. Yes. But they're very different than saying he hasn't answered the question. He's saying that you can't fully understand the answer. So But if you want, that is a fair point. It's just all I was saying, and this is the point that David Samalov makes, is it's not, he hasn't done nothing. He has given an answer, and he showed the framework of the answer, but he's told you that you can't fully understand the answer.
Okay. This is the Avodah Samalach right here on Tshuva. No. Hey.
Yeah, okay. I believe.
Supposed to look at that. Okay. Okay. Rabbi, I appreciate it very Kaya. Much.
Of course. My pleasure.
Hi, Rabbi. Yes, one quick question. Uh-huh. I just wanted to clarify with Sadja Gaon. Was he saying that Hashem knows what we're going to do because we already chose it? Meaning he knows the future of our actions, what we chose, or?
No, he knows what we're going to, well, I don't know. I wouldn't say already chose it. He didn't say that. He knows what we're freely going to choose.
Meaning he knows. Doesn't mean
it's not free, just because he knows it. He knows what we're going to freely choose.
Okay.
But because it's not necessary knowledge, it could be otherwise.
Okay, I heard a mashal once of like the people record television. So you know, like you record the Super Bowl game, but you didn't watch it yet. So if you know the results, you know what's going to happen in every play. So it's like Hashem to us. He knows our actions. Is that not?
That's a different answer. That's closer to the answer that I said the Achronim bring about God's existing out of time.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Call to.
Thank you, Rebbe. Rebbe, will you possibly be around on Sunday, or already gone for Pesach?
No, I'll be around. I'll be around next week. Let me just stop the recording.